Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
46% of Americans expect to leave behind financial obligations when they pass away, so it's crucial to make sure your family is financially protected. Policy Genius helps you find the right life insurance coverage by comparing options from America's top insurers with help from licensed, award-winning agents. Secure your financial future with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get free life insurance quotes in just a few clicks. That's policygenius.com.
Hey, this is Tyler.
And this is KC.
And you're listening to
The Element Podcast.
What's happening, all my woods people? It's the Whitetail Weatherman here. It is finally No Shape November, KC. That's right, No Shape with a P in it.
Is that when you get round? Is
that's
that what you're
when
trying to
get any shape you want, bro. You eat all the Oreos, all the Duplex.
So that's the forecast. You give me the forecast right now, aren't you?
The forecast is lots of junk food in the forecast.
Yeah,
so.
Baby. Lots of pizzas, hopefully, right?
Yeah, yeah. We've got stable temps ahead and very rainy, dessert-filled days. Oh, we're on the road. Can y'all believe it?
Can you fathom?
Can you believe it? We are in a truck together. And there's no bench seat in here, so we're sitting apart a little bit. I wouldn't say socially distanced.
I just booked a hotel, and the guy was trying to figure out how many people are staying in the room. And it's just weird, man.
Why do they ask that, man?
Yeah, it's a double. Just deal with it. You know, if I'm one guy who wants two beds, deal with it.
Yeah. What if I'm four people that want two beds?
I know, it doesn't matter.
Like, am I going to pay more?
And he's like, well, is it for a company? Is it for personal? I'm like, well, is it cheaper one way or the other? Because we're kind of both. And he's like, well, no, I just want to know how many people are in the room. I was like, oh, okay, it's just two guys. And he's probably like, okay, next question.
Well, that's why we got a double, you know? Yeah. If it was two guys, when we had a single, that'd be real
that's
weird.
That's right. It is real weird. But sometimes you have to do it.
Tell y'all what, we're going to let you in a secret right now. This is top notch. This is like, whoever takes up this idea is going to make a lot of money. But
okay.
The first gay hunting couple is going to make a lot of money.
They will, man.
Guaranteed.
Guarantee it. First vegan one, too. You know, yeah. Like.
We're out here hunting heads of lettuce.
That's right. Dad gummit. That's funny.
Yeah. Headhunters. Headhunter TV.
That's it, man. That's what it takes. And we just don't quite fit the bill.
No, we don't. Mm-mm. No, we definitely Mm-mm. don't. I'm not.
Bill. The bill. No, nope, just don't fit it.
We're excited. I can't say anything else, but we're just excited.
Finally.
It's finally, man. It's like, this is the vacation we've been waiting on all year, man.
Tyler?
Yeah?
It's going to be a good hunt. You know why?
Why is that?
Because that sign right there says IGA.
Mm.
That's where you know there's going to be some big deer around.
I think that's IGA Outdoors needs to be a thing.
That's it.
That's the gay hunting couple, right?
There's a dove. It's going to be good. November has started. November is here. It doesn't feel like it, Mr. Whitetail Weatherman. 69 degrees outside. Mm-mm. Very warm in our part of the country. But nevertheless, the deer do deer stuff during deer time. So. Yep. We are going on a little deer trip.
Yeah, we are. We are. We're so we're going to talk about the plans of this whole thing here in a minute. But we are on a deer trip. We've been on a few this year. The last one, the last deer trip that the Element team got to do was in the great land of Lincoln. And let me tell you something. Jack and I, since the very beginning of October, when sitting in a tree stand together, are 2 for 2.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty fun. Is Jack spoiled now?
He is. We knew that already.
We knew that, though, yeah. We knew that before he ever started filming with us.
Knew that one for sure.
Yeah, but it comes more apparent every day. We killed a deer in Illinois. If you listened to the last podcast, you know that, which if you're listening right now, you probably listened to the last podcast. And if you didn't, then you might be a new guy that needs to subscribe to this podcast. And we will gladly accept that and appreciate that. So we killed in Illinois, and part of this episode is to let you guys know that the footage is coming out. Let's see, if this releases when we want it to release, the footage will be coming out tonight. So that's going to be November 2nd, right?
November 2nd and what, 7 p.m.?
About 7 p.m. And that's, you know, all, if we're like, so we're on the road. If internet complies and I don't hit this guy riding across the road in his bike, then we will get this video up to you online on YouTube. So go check it out. There's people in the road everywhere.
Golly, man.
Just trying to get hit. That's like not a good position to be in, sir. So anyway, it's going to be awesome. Jack, the guy that spoiled that we were telling you about, he filmed select parts of this, what he wanted to film, you know. No, he actually got my buck in the footage. I don't know if we said that in the last podcast. I don't think we were sure at the time. Hadn't reviewed the footage, but he got my buck in the footage, in the frame, before I killed him. So pretty neat finding there. And the video is going to be a little over 30 minutes long, so block you off a little time, get your popcorn.
Is it up as a premiere?
I was thinking about not, but okay, we can do whatever.
No, I didn't know. Because if it's going to be a premiere, they can go get a reminder for when it comes out.
Yeah.
Right? But if not, either way, you need to go subscribe, and then you'll get a notification. If you hit the bell.
It's
I don't
so
know
dumb.
If you've watched YouTube, but everyone says hit the bell because we want you to hit the bell. But if you do that, then you'll actually get a notification. And you'll know when that video comes out. The good thing about YouTube is when you get notifications, it's usually not spam. It's like legit.
Right.
At least from us, it's a video that you probably want to watch, hopefully, if you like us and if you like deer. If you like us and deer, our YouTube channel is a good place for you. Nowadays. Now, circa about 2016, we did a lot of not seeing deer because we hunted mostly Texas public, and that's what you do there.
You would have had to really like us.
That's right.
In that case, you might be a hunting celebrity one day, if you know what I mean.
Oh, man.
The bell thing is weird because if you don't hit the bell, you may not ever see any reminders that or updates that we put anything out. That frustrates me because I'm a YouTube fan. Like, I go and watch all kinds of stuff on YouTube when I can. And if I subscribe to a channel and, like, come across it, like, 3 months later, and I'm like, how come I didn't see anything from this? And then I realize I didn't hit the bell for notifications. It, like, makes me rage.
You have to actually, if you want to see those videos at the top of your feed, you have to continually be a viewer of that channel.
Man.
Which is a weird thing because
it's political.
I only have so many, like, minutes in the day to spend on YouTube, and usually it's in the shower. I get to watch a fig video every day or something, and maybe a hunting video if I'm lucky, right? So it's only two channels usually that I can actually
watch. Do they call
them
figios?
No, they don't.
Because if you're a fig, like, connoisseur, you're a figure. Right?
Yeah, you're a figure.
We talked about this before on the podcast.
You're figuring on things.
You are. Have you been figuring out anything?
I have not figured out that much. I have figured out that my figs didn't like the rain the other day. They split on me.
Oh.
But fig season's over at the Smith household, which is pretty normal about this time of year. But That just means one thing. When thick season goes out, deer season comes in. Right?
Man. So yeah, it's no shape November, dude.
I don't need no figs for that.
There's no more dieting happening,
y'all. That's what
cookies
are for.
No, like, during the month of October after we come off a trip, which I didn't even go that crazy on most of the trips, and then we come off a trip, and I would, like, try not to eat all week and then go back on a trip again, mm-hmm. you know. And it's changing. Times are changing.
Yeah.
Pop-Tarts every morning, cereal every night, and then celebration pizzas and
every
duplex.
Night too, right?
Every night. We're celebrating just getting through the day.
That's right,
know?
Dude.
Man.
At the Element, we do not discriminate. We're going to celebrate does and bucks with pizza.
Yeah, we are.
So this podcast is kind of a just conglomeration of a couple different things we got going on. We thought we might answer a few questions that we'd gotten in recently. Specifically, had a couple things about self-filming.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked on quite a few podcasts about like what type of cameras you should run and stuff like that. And it's really up to your discretion. You can spend as much as you want to on a camera. There's some cheaper options out there, too. Just get whatever suits your needs. But really, I think something that is kind of lost is the tactic of, or the technique probably is better than tactic, the technique of self-filming. And we cut a video doing this a long while back. Maybe should rehash it this summer. I think we've talked about doing that a little bit. But there's a couple things to consider whenever you're going to do some self-filming. And Tyler's been doing it longer than I have, but I've been doing it for quite a while now, too. There's a couple components that you got to keep in mind that you need beyond a camera. You need a camera arm, which is going to be a swivel arm that kind of moves around, and then also a base that attaches to the tree. And you're also going to need a fluid head. So not only whenever you...
A head of some sort.
Yeah, fluid is the best, but you can get like a little pan ball head or whatever they call them as well. Depending on what your goals are as a self-filmer. And I think that's what you probably need to establish first is that, are you doing this to put on YouTube? Are you self-filming to show all your buddies and show your family? Or are you strictly self-filming so that you can be kind of like some of the big-timers, like the DeQuistos and stuff, who they just film solely so they can see where they hit the deer, which is a good idea.
Shot analyzation.
But with all those comes different types of equipment and different techniques as to what you're going to do, right?
Yeah.
So Tyler and I can speak mostly to the YouTube stuff because that's really where we're at now. I started out doing self-filming stuff a little bit. I didn't do it as intensively as I do now, just to show buddies and stuff. I didn't really understand computers back in the day and how you could upload stuff and all that. But so let's just take it from the YouTube stuff because honestly – that's the most intense level, and then you can kind of downgrade our advice from there to suit your needs. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah.
So,
sure.
You're like we said, you're going to need, you know, those three things, a camera arm, a head, and a camera, and once you've got that worked out, then you go to this. You're going to need to establish how you're going to be in the tree. Are you going to be hunting from a tree stand sitting down? You're going to be hunting from a tree stand standing up? You're going to be hunting from a... saddle, like we've been doing quite a bit, or even from the ground. If you're hunting from the ground, you're going to need a tripod too, so that's another thing, but you don't need the camera arm, but just swap those in and out. One of the things that I've found, and Tyler can kind of expand on this a little bit, is depending on if you are hunting where you've got a true cameraman and then you're just a hunter versus being a true self-filmer where it's you in a stand with a bow and a camera or a gun and a camera, where you position that camera matters compared to getting off shots and getting deer on film and that sort of thing. Right, Tyler?
Yeah, for sure. You can run it on either side of your body, but I tend to like to run as a right-handed shooter of a bow. I like to run it on my right side. I think you'd want to do that with a rifle too, probably. Mm-hmm. So the other day, you and I have done some self-filming here in October, and or quite a bit, probably both, I guess, of us have done. And, you know, sometimes your tree doesn't allow you to put it on your right side, so you got to put it on your left. And I ended up, we released this video very recently of me at my house, had a big boar hog come in, and he started kind of going left on me, and I had my camera arm on my left, so I had to basically use my bow arm, my left arm, to move that camera and frame him up a little better. So, you know, I was kind of working the at full draw working the arm or the head, you know. Mm-hmm. So you can do that if you have to set up on that side. But preferably, you want your release hand to be the one that controls the camera, the fluid head, the buttons, you know, all of that. So as far as setting it up goes, you know, usually to whatever side your dominant hand is, and then you, a lot of times you're going to want to put it probably about waist high, because the arm is going to come up a little bit, above the bracket, the shoulder mount that goes against the tree, and then the camera is going to be up a little higher than that. And so it'll all work out to where, you know, if you got your arm bent at a 90, say, and you're ready to clip on, you also can just reach over and move the camera a little bit, and it's right there, pretty much just right above your waist, kind of. And then it also gives you a good view when you're looking on the screen and you got your camera pointed downward. You can still, it's not too high up by your head, mm-hmm. where you can't see the screen anymore because the camera's tilted down looking at the animal. So,
and also it provides for the least amount of movement.
Yep.
Whenever you're like, you got an animal in close, right? I mean, the thing with self-filming that you need to realize is that it is tougher to kill stuff when you got a camera with you, if you're committed, yep. to getting stuff on film. Like, straight up, you're going to spook a couple animals that you should have killed because you're trying to film them.
Yep.
Or have something go bad because of it. But if you keep that thing around your waist right there, that's like, most of the time, a relaxed position for a hunter is kind of with your hands kind of at your waist on your thighs, right? Like, that's kind of where people usually stand or sit. So you can just reach up and move with your wrists and do pretty much everything you need to do. Now, the one caveat to that is if you are hunting out of a saddle, I've really found that I want the camera even lower, mm-hmm. not because it's easier to work in the that sense of movement and whatnot, because you got that bridge and all that stuff right there. And if you don't set up that base on the tree, like at knee high, your camera's going to end up where you can't get the thing around the tree because you got stuff right here in your way.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about that is that you don't have to really pick left or right because it's right in front of you. You
right.
know, traditionally, when you're hunting out of a saddle, you got a tree right in front of you and you're kind of hunting on the left and right side of it. Now, for right-handed hunters, you kind of want to set up with your shots to your left.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to kind of keep that in mind whenever you're setting up your camera. What I've found is I like to have the base maybe just a bit to the right, that way I can rotate that camera arm. Like most camera arms kind of hinge in the middle, so there's kind of two pieces. I can rotate that thing around, and one camera arm, one part of the arm leans up against the tree, and the other part kind of swivels around, and I can kind of hunt with that. But what you really have to watch out for, especially as a bow hunter, is you don't need that arm to be in your way when you're trying to make a shot,
mm-hmm.
right? You really need to keep that camera a decent amount to the right of where your shots are going to be, because you can look at my South Dakota footage. I actually bump the camera a little bit whenever I shoot my bow.
Mm-hmm.
It can get real bad. I've seen somebody, I can't remember who it was on YouTube, but somebody smoked their bow, their screen on their camera, their flip out screen with an arrow.
String or with the arrow?
Yeah, with an arrow. Just
golly.
Absolutely just rip shot it, man. And that's a sad day right there, because you done missed your buck and you shot your camera. It's a bad deal. A bad deal right there.
Got it, man.
Yeah. So that's kind of my take on like where to position the camera and stuff like that. You got anything more on the positioning stuff?
No, I don't think so, really. I mean, as far as this kind of goes a little bit in the same vein, but
yeah.
You've got dials on most camera arms in one way or another, or most camera heads, fluid heads or pan heads that
yeah.
you would buy, that allow the camera to move more or less freely. And so as a self-filmer, you're going to want to make sure that those dials, especially and mainly, and almost 100%, you want just the pan, the left and right, to be able to move fairly freely.
Uh-huh.
You want to keep it to where it's going to stay if you have to move it left or something, and it's not going to go, you know, tilting back down
yeah.
to straight or whatever. And this is part, you also got to make sure that you're level, you know, when
yeah,
you balance it.
Yeah, leveling it out makes a big difference on controlling all that
right.
stuff, too.
You also, you know, what I'm trying to get to is that you don't want your tilt to have a whole lot of play in it at all. Like, you want to have to move that pretty hard, because if you don't, your camera will end up falling down. If you guys go and watch in the season playlist last year,
can
see the Iowa buck that I killed. The video before that, the day, it was the day before, And I'm literally, I kill that deer instead if I didn't have my camera too loose and it falls straight, you know, facing straight down to the ground.
Which it's tricky because a lot of times if you keep that camera on a flat plane, like facing parallel to the ground, right, it's fine. But as soon as you start tilting that thing down, the weight of the lens kind of takes it sometimes, and it goes whoop right over. So you got to make sure it's plenty good and tight for that not to happen.
If you're shooting a camcorder style instead of like a DSLR or mirrorless platform,
better balance.
You've got better balance. It's just a lighter model usually. So anyway, that's kind of in the same balance as setup, I think, is just to be, when you get it set, make sure there's a little bit of movement because you're going to probably need to move it last second. But
One of the really nice heads, if you're a budget guy trying to do this, we're not paid by these people at all, but Slick is one of the pretty popular brands of stuff out there you can get, and then there's Manfrotto. It's kind of the two more common ones out there. We run a lot of Manfrotto heads because they're real smooth and real nice, but they're a little bit more expensive. Slick has like a real inexpensive one. It's actually a three axis, which you don't need all three, you only use two. But anyways, what I really liked about that cheaper Slick head is that your tension adjustment for your up and down was in the handle. So you could reach up there, do like an eighth turn with your wrist, it would loosen it, and you can go up and down and then tighten that thing back down another eighth back, you know, righty tighty, and it's just stuck there for sure. It was nice. So
that's a Slick, we bought Slick 340 tripods with those heads on them, I think. So in case you were wanting something like that.
I don't remember what it was called.
I think they're 340s.
Yeah.
That's what they're called.
But yeah, those are pretty nice. But so real quick, let's talk a little bit about camera settings and stuff like that. There's a creepy guy standing on the side of the bridge in a clown face.
Wow.
Okay.
Am I going the
I think you need to be over there, sir.
We're
going to
exit and come back on.
I did this one night real late with Pop.
I'd rather not run into that big black truck behind me.
That'd be not good. We're down here in the Purge area. There's going to be more clowns on the street.
I hope not.
Oh, goodness.
We're not going to stop at this red light.
Okay, so on camera settings, there are a couple of main ones. A lot of times you can run auto on stuff. The focus is always going to be a big deal. Autofocus is good if you got good shooting lanes and you're pretty open. If it's pretty brushy and you're trying to get footage of deer through brush, you're going to want to run manual focus, which makes things more difficult.
Yeah.
Just honestly, run auto unless you absolutely can.
Yeah, if you're listening to this as a 101 guy, which is kind of what we're delivering right now, 101 type stuff, probably going to want to auto it.
Especially if you're running a camcorder too, because it's pretty hard to manual focus camcorders a lot of times. So there's that. There's also other settings like f-stop, ISO, stuff like that. If you're a DIY type, you know, 101 again, run some of that stuff on auto. You might end up with some grain where it kind of looks like kind of fuzzy. You're like you're looking through the fog at deer later at night. That's okay if you're just trying to, you know, have something cool to show your buddies or whatever, you know. We do some stuff to make sure that doesn't happen, or do our best to make sure that doesn't happen. Really, the more expensive camera you get, the kind of better that's going to be, and some are better for low light and this and that. But one of the main things that you need to think about is getting deer in focus and also getting them in the frame. All right. So that, and that's very basic types of focus. And the frame is going to be pretty dependent on how tight you're running your zoom. Okay, so a lot of cameras, especially camcorders, are going to have a pretty variable zoom. Like my camcorder goes from 24 to 28 to 240. Okay, so mid 20s.
I don't even know what yours ends up at.
240 is what it ends up at.
Oh, it does? Okay.
Yeah, I know that for sure. So it's 28 to 240, 24 to 240, something like that, which is real nice. Okay, it's great because that 24, 28 means you can zoom way out and take selfie style, you know, interviews if you want to, and it's not too zoomed in on your face, which is bad for me if my face gets too zoomed in on. You also can zoom way out and, you know, get pretty good footage of a deer out a couple hundred yards away if you are good and still. Now, the thing that people have a hard time with, myself included, is having the camera too zoomed when a deer comes in and when you take a shot, right? The nice thing about camcorders is that zoom is real easy to adjust. Usually it's right at the toggle switch on top. So if all else fails and you just need a catch-all, or just, you know, in case of emergency, run that thing as wide as you can.
Yep.
And you also get it on footage.
you can run that. A lot of cameras these days, even very inexpensive ones, are going to have a 4K option.
Yeah.
If you run 4K and you're pretty wide, mm-hmm. and as long as that deer is in the frame, you can crop down to it and still have pretty decent quality.
Yeah.
So you run that thing in 4K and your post-production, whatever you use, a lot of people are going to be using iMovie or something like that, which is one of my least favorite programs. But it is free, and if you have that and you're working with it, then you can essentially crop in closer so you can analyze shot.
Which means zoom
like
in
that.
On the computer.
Zoom in it, on the computer pretty much. And so you can see your shot and or you know, just have a better footage for whatever purpose you're wanting.
Yeah, exactly. So, but like I was saying, if you're self-filming, sometimes things get frantic and the deer doesn't end up where you think it's going to be, and sometimes your bow is drawn, and the only way to make sure that thing is even in the frame is to have your frame pretty wide. So if you go back and look, I have examples of both of these, but we'll go with the good version. I killed a buck that's infamously called the meat buck. It's a spike on Texas public land. I shot it in January 1st, 2019, I believe. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Yeah, and I shot that deer with a wide frame. You can't, on a phone screen, you can see everything, but it's kind of hard to tell. But he for sure is in the frame, no problem, and wasn't going to be out of the frame. But I grunt stop him, get my shot off. Actually end up kind of spining him, and he dies right there in the frame. It's kind of crazy, but anyways, if I'd have been zoomed in too far, that deer would have walked out of the frame, and I would have shot the deer out of the frame, which is fine if you have a cameraman, he can move the camera, but sometimes when you're at full draw, that ain't gonna happen, right? You just got to take your shot. So keep that in mind. Now if you do have a camera guy, it's okay to get a little bit tighter because if you're filming your buddy or whatever, you can move the camera around, do whatever you want to. But, mm-hmm. Get it. And you can experiment with this stuff whenever you're sitting there in a tree stand. Okay, well, what's tight enough that I know will get my whole shooting lane, but it's not so wide that, I'm just looking at trees and maybe there'll be a brown dot in it, right?
Yep.
And if you get that done, then you're sure to at least be able to see your deer and see where you shot it.
Yep. I'd say, try it. Get in there early. Get things set up, work with your shots, kind of envision your shots a little bit, and then just think about, setting your camera up, where you think a deer is going to be if it was to surprise you and be in your shooting lane, what I mean? So, have it set there, have it ready to go, and then you can get that footage as he comes in if you see him or her coming in. Early enough, you can get footage of them, but otherwise you want to make sure that if you're surprised that you can just flip the camera on and start recording and get the shot on video at least, for many different reasons. But that's kind of
that's pretty comprehensive, I think, for that one, that camera or self-filming style deal. Guys, if you think you want to try it out, go ahead and do it. It's pretty fun, and if anything, cameras kind of hold their value for a couple of years, especially if you buy something that's on the cheaper side. You can always resell it or film the kids' football games with it or whatever, you know. It's also something you can justify to your wife because you can be like, well, I can do this with it, I can do this with it, I can do this with it. But then you run into the thing, well, I want to take this camera so I can take some pumpkin pictures. And you're like, no! but we got a buddy who has run into that a few times. But anyways.
That's going to get you going.
Yeah.
And now, If you have any more detailed questions, feel free to send them into us via the website or Instagram on DM, in the messages and or Facebook. That's where we get a lot of our messages. Send us some of that stuff, but be detailed because some of the questions we've been getting in regards to this self-filming and editing are almost along the lines of how do you edit a video? And it's like, man, it's a vague question. I need a little more details of what you're wanting to do. Or what you're thinking, or if you're asking me what program do you use, I don't know if that's what you're saying. So just make sure that you're detailed. If you got a question, we'll try to answer it. We may answer it on the podcast. We may answer it in the inbox. But either way,
we got another question the other day that has nothing to do with cameras. It's going to lead us into what we're doing right now.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
We had a guy who's been a longtime follower. He sent us a message and said, "Hey, on my private stuff, the deer aren't hitting the golden nuggets right now very much at all. And on public, I cannot figure out what they're eating. What are deer eating in late October, early November in Texas on public land? What a great question, sir. So one of the issues that you're going to run into if you do much public land hunting in Texas is realize that we don't have, like, pretty much crops anywhere near public land that deer care to be in. You know, there's a lot of coastal Bermuda, a lot of junk like that, hay grazer, silage, stuff like that that just deer don't use to the extent of eating it, right? So the big one everybody talks about is acorns. This year we're not having a great acorn year. If you can find some good acorns, it might be pretty good. But quite honestly, it's for a small amount of deer season, are there actually acorns on the ground that deer will eat? So you got to figure out something else. I'm not the greatest at this, but I can list off a couple. I'm sure Tyler can too, of stuff to look for. For me, honeysuckle thickets and briar thickets are going to be two things that deer are going to frequent often and have food there that they can eat, you know, browse style. And in fact, all year long, I think that I know everybody likes to harp on Japanese honeysuckle as a invasive, and it is, and it can take over areas, but deer eat the tar out of it, man.
Hammer time, dude.
Dude, they freaking love it, and it's a thing that they'll eat all winter long because it stays green all winter long, and there's green leaves there.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with greenbrier, you know. It gets a little bit harder in the wintertime, but there's still green leaves, and then as soon as those little green shoots start coming out, man, they hammer it down too. You know, what are some thoughts for you about
my first
deer browse?
One is pumpkin patches.
Pumpkin patches. There's a few of those around. Yeah, actually, there's signs
you
there.
You can hunt pumpkin patches in the off, you know, off hours or after Halloween. You know, pretty much.
Actually, you laid a pumpkin underneath your feeder 2 years ago, and nothing touched it.
Nothing. Not a bird. Not a raccoon. Nothing.
Nothing.
So, my thoughts are privet.
Yeah.
I know the Memphis meat buck that you're talking about, he was full of those privet's berries.
Guys, if you don't know what that is, it's Chinese privet. It's an invasive as well.
That
look it up.
China's, man.
I know, dude.
China's.
Well, that other one's a Japanese.
Oh.
Japanese honeysuckle, Chinese
That's
privet.
Racist, isn't
China,
it?
China virus. But yeah, so look it up. It's like a little green shrub or whatever. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no. There's also a Korean barbecue honeysuckle as well too. The Chinese privet. I just call it privet because I don't want to sound too much like Trump.
Yeah.
Because we're not sure at this point if he's going to be our president or not. That's definitely one. Man, as far as other food sources on public go, I think you're going to start seeing some cold season grasses that are going to come up in different areas, man, that may get like mowed or for some reason, you know, they're dying maybe, you know, even, but like in a CRP habitat, you're not going to see this as much, but some maybe, but like places that have been trampled down or certain grasses that have been dead for a while, you're going to start seeing like some ryegrasses and stuff come up that are green and tasty little shoots, you know, and I think if you can find that, that's something else. You know, I wasn't really ready for this question, so those are my best two ideas.
Those are good.
I could probably come up with a couple more, and I feel bad that I'm not giving you everything
We'll
right
go
now.
With the best of the element ones, and that's going to transition us into what we're fixing to do right now.
Yeah. So
the element standby is the good old permissin. The persimmon.
Yeah.
The American persimmon.
Mm-hmm.
Sims, as we like to call them.
Old Sims.
Sims. Man. You can't beat it this time of year. And then they're kind of starting to run out. But what's interesting about persimmons is you'll have trees that drop in early October. You'll have trees that drop in late October.
Mine's
trees
holding strong,
dude,
right now.
Mine dropped the first week of October on my property. It's nuts, man. And that's the thing I think you need to get in there and figure out which persimmons are dropping where and when. One of the things that you got to consider, too, and this is a good thing, is that deer will eat persimmons when we can't touch them because they don't perceive tannins like we do. So whenever you take a bite of a persimmon and it's not real soft and gooey and it draws your mouth up, that doesn't really bother deer as much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't eat them when they're green that much, but once they start turning orange, if a persimmon falls on the ground, a deer will eat it.
Yeah.
So, guys, get out there and find you some persimmons because, dadgummit, if it's not deer candy. We actually pulled a trail camera on public land the other day in Texas and had some pretty nice shooters that were hitting persimmons middle of the night and early morning, but it gives you an idea about how to follow them to and from, you know, where they might be bedding or spending their daytime, or just know that as the season pushes on later, they'll be more and more daylight active, and you can go from there. So, Tyler, right now, we actually are going to put some of that into practice.
Yeah, for right? sure. Yeah, we're so this is something we've wanted to do for some time now. But basically, what we're doing on the road here is we're checking out some different public properties in Texas, trying to get our eyes on some new stuff, some stuff that maybe in areas that we've seen before, but we haven't seen this particular spot of this public parcel or whatever that we've map scouted out and we'd like to see, you know. So we're just kind of making the rounds, and we may jump on a place and try to hunt a little bit. We're not sure. We're just going to have to kind of see what we see when we get there.
See what it says.
We're going to see what it says. But the idea is kind of, you know, with this kind of heat wave, or Casey was saying Indian summer earlier,
yeah,
that's kind of going on here. We got this heat wave during early November here. We're kind of waiting on Kansas to cool off / heat up, if you know what I mean.
Woo-hoo!
So cool off temperature wise, and hopefully that'll give us more direct efforts once we decide to go up there. So we're kind of, you know, it's probably going to end up being a big trip. I don't think we're going to go home in between, but we're just making the rounds, man, and we're going to hopefully get to sit down on some Texas pub.
Oh, I would love to shoot a couple Texas public bucks and on a place that's new to me, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that'd be freaking awesome. And this is where Onyx comes in pretty handy, honestly, man, because we can get on our map, get on a highway, hit and head south or whatever, and just look around and see where the WMAs are, make sure it's legal to go there and get it, you know?
Yep.
It's pretty nice to be able to just, you know, even on a wide screen version, looking at the whole state and just see what WMAs are within reach and what you can go hit and what you can go check out.
Right.
So
yep.
We'll probably be spending quite a bit of time on the maps.
Definitely.
Especially whenever we get somewhere, we're going to be doing some intensive map scouting, trying
yes.
to target. Like, honestly, you can even find persimmon trees. If you know what you're looking for, you can see persimmons on the map. It's
yep.
pretty tough, but you can definitely tell, like, what is going to be, you know, tall grass, which, man, guys, the most underrated habitat feature in a Texan's repertoire is long grass.
Yeah.
All right, dude. I mean, I know that it gets hot out there in the middle of summer and there probably ain't a lot of deer in it, but once November hits, dude, deer love to get out in tall grass
mm-hmm.
and feel like they're hidden, but rut around and sniff on does and chase does around, you know, like,
yep.
of course they'll do it in the big timber too, but deer don't want to run does in the thicket. Now, does end up bedding in the thicket, and they'll go by there and nose them up and stuff, but, you know, dude, if you can find a good big old patch of CRP or whatever you want to call it, switchgrass, there's going to be deer in it in November.
Yep.
And that is just all. And honestly, if you zoom in on some of the maps on Onyx, you can even see trails
mm-hmm.
on some of the stuff. Now, what gets confusing is sometimes they'll let cows in
yep.
on WMAs, and then if it's not cows, it can be pigs.
Yep.
But deer will use those trails too. So, and who knows, might be a deer trail. But anyways, we'll be spending a lot of time on maps the next few days.
That's the same thing, you know, the same thing for Kansas as well. Like, we spend a lot of time up there. We hunt both public and private up there, and it's the same thing. You got cows on private too.
You do.
You know, and so
yeah.
you gotta deal with that. You know, the one here's a little tip for you as far as trails go, if you're looking for trails, which there's definitely, you have to look for more than just trails. But
oh yeah.
It's a good thing to look for. But if a trail goes up to a barbed wire fence at a perpendicular angle of sorts,
mm-hmm.
it's probably a deer trail.
Yep.
If it goes parallel at some point when it gets to the fence, then it's probably a cow trail.
Yep. And tell you what else, too, on that, when you're reading trails on a map, if you see trails and other trails start getting close to this trail and it's fairly straight and it leads to a water source, it's most definitely cows.
Because mm-hmm.
that's what you'll find on these properties is that, especially, you know, in some of the more arid parts, like, you see, you know, a pila or a windmill or whatever in the corner of a pasture.
I love pila bread.
Dude, pila bread is the best.
Heroes, you ever heard
yeah,
of
one? Yeah, yeah, gorditas. but you'll find that in the corner so it can service all four pastures. Well, if you go 600-800 yards away from that, you're like, oh, man, look at that trail. But if you follow that thing, it's going to lead right to that water in the corner. I'm not saying deer aren't going to frequent that water. I don't really know for sure, but I can tell you this.
It's not my favorite.
If it is mooed up, you probably better find you another spot.
Yeah, for sure, man. Speaking of gorditas, man, I need to go get while we're down here, I need to get some Mexican food. You know what I mean? Yeah, so anyway, back to the stuff. The plan is to do that, maybe go to Kansas at some point. We're definitely going to be in Kansas
next week.
Oh, yeah,
ain't no babies
or so.
Up in there.
And then probably, you know, I don't know. I don't know. We're so flying by the seat of our pants right now. We got one thing in mind, and after tomorrow, things can change. You know what I mean? So we don't really know for sure, but we are excited. Once we get to Kansas, we're going to be doing a lot of stuff, a lot of hopping around, a lot of truck driving, which we usually do. We've talked about it before, but, you know, in flatter country, plain states and stuff, we spend a lot of time in the truck trying to get a look at different you know, that's the thing is, even with the topography on the lines, you know, on X, you're still gonna struggle in some of these places that aren't super hilly to understand. Can you actually see very far into that property from the road? And mm-hmm. that's a big thing is road seclusion on these properties. So
absolutely,
if we've got you know, and we've got a you know, we put 1,000 pounds of corn in one spot. So we've got that as an
option.
Actually,
more than that.
Well, yeah, we've put 1,250 at this point altogether. So hopefully it's still holding in there. Definitely, I got to pull a trail camera in there and saw that there was at least one shooter in there. So that's a possibility of a place we're going to sit soon. And then we're always looking for new stuff up there just because, you know, if you live the permission game, uh-huh. you know that things come and go.
You know?
So. We got to be on that.
What's freaking cool about this time of year, and actually, guys, we just got off the – I'll give a little plug for our buddy Jake Hofer here. So our friends at Exodus, they run a really cool podcast called Trail Cam Radio, and we got off the phone with Jake earlier, and we're going to have an episode collabing with them.
He called us the greatest hunters on earth, I think.
He did, I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what he said.
So what is that? That's on Tuesday. I guess that'll be November 3rd that'll come out. So go check out Trail Cam Radio. Listen to our episode over there in case you just aren't completely tired of us rambling here. We did over there quite a bit, too. Lots of laughs, though, man. And actually some really good deep dive conversation.
Yeah, they're good questions, yeah. Man.
Dude, Jake's the man, dude. Freaking killer. He's going to kill a giant buck this week, and we're going to get him on for a big buck breakdown. I just know it.
It's just going to be – we're just going to turn this into a joint podcast.
Yeah. Like, oh, well, what I was saying on that was that one of the things we talked about with Jake is that this time of year is magic, man.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Do not get discouraged
Mm-mm.
if you don't have bucks showing up yet at your place or whatever, because in no time – it can go from zero to hero, man. Like, a giant can show up out of nowhere. And you got to be in the stand ready for it to happen.
Yeah.
So, do not despair, my friends.
When you said do not be discouraged, I thought you were talking about quoting some Joshua scripture.
I was, dude.
Were you?
Yeah, but I didn't want to go too Joel, so I was like...
Yeah, I hear you. No,
just open your wallet and... never mind.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah. Don't open that Bible.
Yeah, that's right. But anyways, man, November's here, and we are hyped. If you can't tell by the giggles that we had so far on this podcast, Tyler and I are just driving around,
like
looking
girls.
At deer country, just being little girls, going to be girls whenever it gets cold, because it's going to be, you know, everybody's like, kind of a warm front. I'm like, dude, that's what I'm talking about.
You ain't lying, man. If I can shoot a deer and then drag him out in a short-sleeve shirt, man, I am all about it.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to hunt when it's 90, but... Hunt when it's 55 ain't the worst.
No.
Ain't the worst.
Mm. Man, I can't drive 55. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying.
So, I guess as we wrap this thing up, I just kind of give a call to action one more time, man. Thank you guys for the support you've had for us this year. Tell your friends to subscribe to us. That's a big, big thing for us. We're almost at 10,000 subs on YouTube, man. We're getting close.
Oh, we'd love to get there.
We'd love to get there soon, before the rut even starts. Mm. Is it the rut yet? I don't know.
I don't know.
So
I have not seen a buck chasing since we've been on the road, so maybe not.
Me neither. So go watch that video tonight or whenever you're listening to this thing.
Yeah, it's around 7 p.m. on November 2nd. So
yep.
If it's after that, it's already up. If not, go subscribe and be ready to watch.
Yeah, hit the bell for notifications. And like I said, you guys being grassroots believers in what we do is big time to us, man. It means so much that you support us, because we're getting to the point where this thing is pretty serious deal for us. It's a lifestyle and it's lifeblood, man. It's something that we have been so passionate about since 2016 when we started filming and doing this thing. And just the opportunity to be able to get out on the road and do this means so much, man. I can't tell y'all how much fun I've had this year already, and it's because of you guys, and we appreciate that so much. So tell your friends that something cool is going on over here. They need to subscribe. See a little different angle than what you see on other places in YouTube, maybe. And hopefully it's something that's good. So anyway, we appreciate that. And remember, this is your element.
Living it.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.